Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Let me hear you a little bit.
Check, check. Talking with Monk and Alan in Alabama.
Cool, cool.
Check, 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 check.
All right, we're good.
I'm always the loudest one.
It's true. Welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan. We are at the Green Room in Saturn in Birmingham, Alabama. I have Monk here with me and Molly from...
Uma Blue. Yeah.
So, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm having a really good time. It's my first time playing in Alabama, so it's been a really fun weekend.
Yeah.
So, Molly and Uma Blue, there's a whole burlesque, like, element to this thing. Can you tell us that story?
Yeah, well, I don't want to get anyone excited. I don't strip on stage anymore, but
I've never seen any burlesque that actually completely strips. So.
No, it's not like that. It's tasteful stripping, but more or less the same thing. But Uma Blue was a character that I used to be super stage fright, and I went to acting school in Chicago when I turned 18, so I had to get over it, and I found burlesque as this kind of like avenue that acted as kind of this like catalyst to fearlessness, I guess. And I had been playing music like in the closet more or less for like many years, and I just kind of found this persona to kind of step into. So it's a burlesque inspired like stage persona. It's like my what's it called, security blanket.
Sure.
Yeah,
like I totally get it, because I mean I go by Monk on the radio, but my name is Shane. So Shane is a very introverted, quiet, like, person that doesn't really love the public as much. But when I would go out on radio events and I'd go out as Monk,
you had to put the mask on.
It clicked. I knew I was out as Monk. Yeah. So it like freaking clicked. So it was so much easier. So has the Uma Blue persona, has it kind of drawn you out personally, like in your own life?
I'd say definitely. I mean, I think that's why like people are encouraged to do the arts generally, is or especially performance, you know, just kind of like get more comfortable with yourself and like not caring what somebody might think, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's fun. Like my best friend calls me Uma because I think they see it as like the best version of me, you know.
Yeah.
It's nice to, like, a lot of people would ask like, where is the dividing line between you and Uma? And I was like, that's up to you, you know.
That's a good way to look at it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, for me, I like to think that the Monk persona is just like the drunken Shane. I don't know.
Sure.
Probably
yeah.
Not like that for you, but.
Yeah, and so originally from the Illinois area?
I'm originally from Cleveland, actually, but I've lived in Chicago since 2013, so somebody, Chicagoans will get mad, but I think someone told me once you live there for 10 years, you're like an honorary Chicagoan, so I'm just on that cusp.
Yeah, so how did you get hooked up with our Flabberies?
You know, I work with this guy, Colin Smith, back in Chicago. He's really involved in the scene and everything. And it was like the height of the pandemic, and we've been sitting on this album forever, and we were like getting ready to do something with it, and everything kind of fell apart. So we were trying to figure out what to do in the meantime. And so Colin started doing label outreach, and I think he's done press for Earth Libraries before. So it was just kind of like I wish I had a more romantic story. It was really just strictly business. But it's been really fun. I love Earth Libraries. It's been, you know, you hear so many horror stories about the music industry, and we're like just getting started. So we're like as vulnerable as you could be. And it's been, really nice to go through like the learning curve of contracts and all of that with them.
What about this venue, Saturn, you're playing tonight? How cool is this? Are you staying here tonight?
I wish. No, we're staying in a very glamorous motel. But but no, I mean, we showed up and we weren't really sure what to expect. Like, we, you know, like I said, we've never been down here. And It's been beautiful. We played Moms last night too. Yes. Like Alabama's got like they're some cool really yeah. We it was funny, our waitress from dinner last night ended up coming to our show and we were like, "No way." And she was like, "Everybody sleeps on Alabama." And I'm like, "I can see. Like this is really cool. This is such a special venue too. Like it's got, you know, I love a little kitschy thing. So it's been really fun. We felt like we walked into Pizza Planet or something. And yeah. And the sound up here was so good. Like, we just, you know, didn't know what to expect. So it's been, like, a lot of really pleasant surprises.
Yeah, we've been doing some podcasts while you were playing. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, my gosh, she's so powerful. Is there any way we could shut the door a little
more? Yeah, my roommates, too. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a great set.
Thank you.
So, first time in Alabama, first time in Birmingham. I call this place the mecca of music when it comes to Alabama. You have Earth Library, you have Cornelius Chapel, you have all these great musicians here in town.
Old Elegante.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you mentioned Mom's Basement and Saturn, which me and...
And Work Play.
Avondale Brewing across the street. Little Italy's like... This is really home to a lot of great venues and just great people who are fans of music who are going to come out and support it.
The people that we have had in the crowds are real cool, really cool, really supportive, and they just seem like generally interested. I wish we could be here for a whole week and just like hop venue hop, you know?
Yeah.
It'd be fun.
So with the new album, is this the first one that's going to be released with Earth Libraries?
Yeah, it's our first one ever and first one with Earth Libraries, and I'm really excited to see how it does.
And it comes out in November?
I think so. We have, as far as I know, a single coming out in the start of November, and then our full album, a couple more singles, and our full album will be out in later half of March.
I had on my notes, I said date, ?
Yeah.
I didn't find it online. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was like reading a bunch of not interviews, but articles about you. And one of the things that I noticed was unguarded lyrics.
Mm. Yeah. Someone else wrote that.
What exactly does unguarded lyrics mean?
I think, I laugh now because I'm 26 now. I started writing this album, I think, like unknowingly between like 19 and 24. And so I was really unafraid to be as angsty as possible. And I kind of laugh at myself now because I'm like, the melodrama is real intense. And I wasn't kidding. You know what I mean? Like, I was not kidding. So I think that, but I think people appreciate that. You know, I'm not trying to hide the fact that, like, I was upset.
So does that come from just being a late teenager? Does that come from a certain band? Does that come from family? I mean, are your parents real outspoken?
They're big personalities. I think it's probably a combination of things, but I think it's also that... I got my first guitar when I was 8, and I just kind of, like... never was really in the right community to be like exploring music, and I think it's not a shameful thing, but I think that just since I didn't have the right like avenue, I didn't really get to get into it. So by the time I finally started to get writing songs, it was just like this has to come out. It was kind of like, you know, pulling the plug on something, and it's all just I wrote really fast, you know, a lot of these songs came out in like one or two sittings really, and it just kind of was like, I got sent to boarding school when I was 16. So it's kind of like a hard place to really be like making your own choices and stuff. And so then I got to Chicago after living in like rural New Hampshire, which I did not like. And I'm surrounded by all this music, and it just felt really urgent that I just really wanted to be a part of this. And I knew that I was exactly where I needed to be, and I felt it super strongly. So it just was like, this has to happen now.
Yeah.
So I think that's where, you know, I was joking with my band the other day. I was like, I think I learned to sing by singing along to like Marina and the Diamonds and like Florence and the Machine and stuff. And, you know, they're super belty. Oh, so I was like, you know.
One of the best female vocalists ever.
So powerful, great.
A powerhouse like you.
Thank you.
And your vocals.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's all about copying. So I learned from them, and I think I was joking with my band. I was like, yeah, that's why I belt on every single song. I thought that's what it was.
So, at this point, though, nothing's original. So we've all got to pull from somewhere.
That's right.
Because that was going to be my next question. Who are your influences? Where did this come from? This this power that you have behind your vocals.
So, yeah.
Florence and the Machine.
Florence and the Machine, Angel Olsen, Nico, Patsy Cline for sure. Yeah, I, you know, Patsy Cline, talk about lyrics, you know. Yeah. I know she did a lot of like renditions of songs that they've done over and over, but like, I mean, the way that she even performed them, they felt very new and just, you know, she really sings from like the bottom of her gut. And I think that's what I'm trying to pull out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really reminded me of like Erica Winterstrom of like Heartless Bastards.
I've never heard of them, actually.
She's got a very powerful voice.
Yeah, I gotta check that out.
Yeah, she's good.
Cool, yeah, it's one more reference.
Yeah, do that. So we touched on it just a little bit. Tell us a little bit about 2020 for you, and what was the experience like of
living through the pandemic?
Stop touring, or what did that look like for you?
You know, we actually... we did this... I do this thing called Uma's Room back in Chicago, where I always liked going to like museums and stuff where it's like you feel like you're immersed in it, like the costumes and stuff. So we did a lot of shows, I think three of them, where we tried to like build sets and play on them so that people felt like they could be in on it. And those are always really special for me. So we did one on Valentine's Day, which was like, I think maybe a week or two before, at least in Chicago, all the stuff started getting shut down. So we were a lot of people's last shows. So I was like feeling pretty decent about the fact that at least the last show that we played was one that was really cool and one that I think went well and was special for people. But yeah, I mean, I was pretty existential following that, where you're like, I mean, I guess this is just a situation. Like, I kind of honestly just didn't listen to music for maybe like 6 to 8 months. Like, I just was like, I can't mourn this right now, that I can't have this in real life and deal with that. And just also, like, we're at such a, like, a beginning part of our career that it's like, I just was like, this is just what it is right now. And yeah. I, you know, I guess I'll deal with it at some point. And I just kind of was like, I guess I'm going to take a break. And I kind of leaned into that because that was the option that I had at the time. And then actually I had to move back to my parents. They live on this farm in Ohio. So in the height of the winter, I went back and lived there and was so just, you know, what am I doing? What's the future? And then we got hooked up with Earth Libraries. So honestly, for me, I mean, it didn't feel good. It was obviously hard for a lot of people, but I think it was just like, these are the options we have, and I waited it out. And I mean, I've ended up here, so I think it's gone pretty well.
Yeah.
So what's the future look like? You got the album coming out. What about tour dates coming up, or what's next?
That's the big goal. I mean, I think everything's kind of in the works right now. We just finished tying up all of our assets to get the album cycle going. So I'm looking to, you know, really hit the ground running after like having a year of no choices. And now it's like, I feel that same urgency, you know, like when I first got to Chicago and it's like, the time is now, like you got to do it. So I'm hoping to get on the road maybe sometime next summer. Just like, I mean, but this is all just spitballing at the moment. But, you know, the album coming out in its own will be a huge thing for me. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm hoping to, we have more demos. We started working on some stuff in quarantine, and we want to try some stuff out. You know, I want to try to like maybe hopping off guitar a little bit so I can like move a little bit more on stage and just, yeah, I think that we're just gearing ourselves up to get on the road and really like serve up something that's super authentically ours. And, you know, we're just going to see what happens, but I don't know. I kind of feel liberated in the despair. You know, it's just like, well, what can you do wrong, really? You know, like, I just want to do it all.
Exactly.
Tell us a little bit about the guys involved in the band.
Oh, they're the best. Yeah, we were just talking the other day because we were having, like, you know, a couple drinks into Moms and, like, sentimental about the whole thing. And it's just kind of funny how we've all ended up together. It's been, like, really, they just kind of, like, arrived. You know, I feel like people with, like, stray dogs, you know, like, yeah, one day they just showed up.
Just pull up, open the door, and I'll hop in.
The stray dog plays drums.
Yeah, he's super talented. I don't know where he learned. But, no, I mean, Chicago's super saturated with, like, a ton of talent. So I'm lucky to be where I am in that way. But, yeah, it happened super naturally. Like, I was kind of playing with one drummer and trying to, like, make a band concept for this. Like, I wrote all these songs that I sang tonight existed at once as solo songs, but I knew I wanted to like build them into a bigger production. and we recorded with Mike. He's my lead guitarist, like co-producer. Super. He's been with me since the beginning and really helped me like alchemize everything.
So he's kind of like your co-songwriter?
In a way, yeah. He's added
or,
like...
Or do you write everything on guitar?
Yeah, so okay. I'll come in with like the song, at least on this album. I think we might be a little bit more collaborative on future songs, but I showed up with basically this album written, guitar park structure and vocals all done. Awesome. And we, you know, maybe tweak some things here and there because I like, I'm not classically trained. Like I said, I was like playing in a closet. So I'll think I'm writing in 4/4 and I'll show up and they're like, dude, that's 6/8. And then it turns into 7/8. And then you're back. So I think my natural rhythm is kind of like funky. So we'll kind of like iron it out so that the drums and everything makes sense and like other things can exist on it. So yeah, he's kind of been, at least on this album, I kind of went to him, and I mean, he's a super genius, like can play everything, just like, you know, really cool. So he came in and wrote, I think he wrote the bass parts and the guitar parts, and I had one prior drummer before Steven who did the drums on this, but Steven since came in and kind of made him his own. Steven's a legend in Chicago. We like literally can't believe he's with us. Yeah, he's brilliant. And I think Mike just like asked him to come in.
So you have the drummer from like he's done some big stuff.
He is just a talent. Yeah, I mean,
like, if he's played with Joan Jett, then you can say I've got Joan Jett's drummer. You know what I mean? So,
or... No, I mean, I think around Chicago, like there was he's just gone on a bunch of tours with like this dude, like Al Martin, that did pretty well. He drums for this like Irish dance company, oddly enough.
Oh my god.
So it's really cool, you know what I mean?
Totally.
So yeah, I mean, he just plays kind of all around the city, and like you know, everybody kind of knows him. So amongst us, I think he would never say that, but he's like a total legend. And then Luke was just like I had another guitar player, and things kind of went awry with that, just kind of like a little bit of a clash on my funky timing and all of that. And I remember we were like in a shared living space at the time, and I was like, I just fired my guitarist, and he was, can I play? I was like, I mean, sure.
I didn't hear any funky timing tonight.
Not at all.
It all sounded like it was very cohesive and...
Man, right, I gotta stop dragging myself in the dirt then.
Yeah. Giving yourself too hard of a time. Just to walk the thing out the door, social media, and with the singles that are coming out, where can people find those?
So everything should be on, you know, any streaming service you could possibly find. We're at Uma Blue on everything. That's UMA. I spelled it BLOO to be kind of cute, I guess. So, yeah, Instagram's where I post the most. I'm like just a little too old to figure out TikTok, but I'm working on it. You know, but yeah, I mean, UMABLOO, I don't think anyone shares the name. There's a Puma Blue, don't get confused.
Puma and Uma.
There you go.
I know, we should tour, right?
Well, Molly, thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much. This is really nice to talk to you. Thank you.
say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.